May be seated, and thank you, Doug, very much for leading us this morning in these great songs. The singing is just beautiful this morning, and we thank all of you for blending your voice together with others as we have encouraged one another and acknowledge our praise and our gratitude unto God. It's good to be back from Jasper, Texas, where we were in a gospel meeting, revival there. Over the last few days, we had a wonderful meeting. And it was great to be there with the congregation who are endeavoring to do the will of God, who are reaching out in the community like this congregation does with endeavors to save the souls of men and women and bring them into a covenant relationship with our Father who is in heaven. Tonight's lesson, and I want to say this right up front, too often times in life, you've heard people say, well, it's wrong to judge, don't you be judging. Well, tonight we're going to talk about that subject, to judge or not to judge. That is the question that we're going to be dealing with tonight. And we encourage all of you to be here for that PM lesson. It is the most important lesson and one that all of us ought to understand and comprehend. And to find out really what the Bible teaches about it and not what the opinions of men may be. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of anger. I've been working on this lesson for several weeks, and I want to use it this morning. I think that sometimes all of us are a people that become enraged and angered about a lot of things in life. And, you know, we get exasperated. By the way, how many of you know there's a difference between the word exasperation and the word anger? Any of you know the difference? Let me explain. There was a young girl one time who was writing a particular paper and an essay in school, and she came to her father and she said, Dad, she said, would you tell me the difference between the word exasperation and the word anger? Well, the father replied, it is mostly a matter of degree. He said, let me show you what I mean. With that, the father went to the telephone and dialed a number at random. To the man who answered the phone, he said, hello, is Melvin there? The man answered, there is no one living here by the name of Melvin. Why don't you learn to look up the number before you dial it? And the man turned to his daughter and said, see, not a bit happy with our call, was he? He was probably very busy with something. And we annoyed him. Then he said to his daughter, now watch. The father dialed the same number again. Hello, is Melvin there? The heated reply came back. Now look here. You just called this number and I told you that there is no Melvin here. You've got a lot of nerve calling that number again. And the receiver was slammed down very hard. The father turned to his daughter and said, sweetheart, you see, that was anger. Now I'll show you what exasperation means. He dialed the same number again. And the violent voice on the other end said, hello. The father calmly said, hello. This is Melvin. Have there been any calls for me? You know, I have learned that people who fly into rage always make a bad landing. How many of you, is there anyone in this audience this morning who has never ever been angry with anyone? We don't like to get angry, but people do get angry. And it behooves us to find out what God says about anger. There was a husband and wife one time who were in a great debate. And the husband said to the wife, "When I get mad at you, you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" And the wife says, "Well, I clean the toilet bowl." And the husband says, "Well, how does that help?" She said, "I use your toothbrush." There are times when we have to overcome our anger and our frustration with one another. Anger is a temporary madness. Control it or it will control you. Anger is one letter short of the word danger. It is. And that's not by accident. For in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." You know, people get upset with each other. One man said one time, "My wife and I never go to bed angry. We stay up and fight." Well, that's not the answer to it. It's not. We need to get rid of the anger. Anger is a sudden, violent displeasure accompanied by an impulse to retaliate. You ever notice that? When you get angry with someone, you just lash out at them and you're ready to retaliate. And you don't want to get even, you want to get ahead, you want to get back. The word wrath is another word that is used in the Bible. The word wrath is a blaze of temper which flares into violent words and deeds just as quickly will die. We need to get rid of anger. A lot of people say, "Well, that's just the way I am." You ever heard anybody say, "Well, that's just my red hair"? And all the redheads in the church said, "Amen." No. Isn't it amazing how we think and how we feel? We just want to blow steam. I've heard people say, "Well, that's just the way I am, and you have to accept me the way I am." Well, it doesn't matter whether I accept you the way you are. It is a matter of whether God accepts you the way you are. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God doesn't accept it. There are levels or phases of anger as well. There is what we call mild irritation. It is the feeling of some kind of minor discomfort or agitation that is brought on by someone or something that they did or didn't do. Indignation is frustration over something that you consider to be unfair or unreasonable. And then there is that word wrath we were talking about a moment ago. It is a strong desire to avenge or punish which never goes unexpressed. And then there is fury, a state that suggests violence and temporary loss of control. Have you ever seen people out of control? I have. I've seen people out of control. They say things, they do things, they wish later that they had not done. What we need to do is get a handle on anger and get rid of it. For the Bible teaches us, again, that there is another form of anger. It's called rage. The most dangerous form of anger, where acts of violence are often committed by people who are scarcely aware of what they are doing. How many of you know that sometimes you could be sitting in traffic and somebody just rear end you because they're mad at what's going on? How many of you know that somebody can just shoot you, drive by? We call it drive by shooting. Maybe you did something, maybe you didn't move out of the way fast enough. Or maybe you crossed over into a lane that they were going to cross over into, and they are in rage, and they are going to get even with you and even ahead of you. I saw this caption. One man said, "I'm so mad, I have no idea what I'm doing." Have you ever noticed how idiotic people appear when they get angry? They just do all kinds of things. They have no idea what they're doing, and their anger reaches what we call that boiling pot, mad. Anger is a destructive thing. It is. That look like anybody you know? Don't look at your wife. You know what I'm talking about. Wives get angry, but men get angry also. Husbands get angry at their wives, and it is something that needs to be stamped out. It is. Why does God call, and here's the real question this morning, why God calls anger sinful? Now, you know, a lot of people look at that and they say, well, that's just a natural emotion. No, it's an unnatural emotion. God created you innocent from sin. But what happens is that we allow these little triggers to start the anger processing moving and to get it in full flow. We do. Somebody can say something, it's just like a trigger that goes off. Somebody might do something. Maybe they didn't do something that you thought they should have done, and you just explode. What does God really say about this subject of anger? Well, in the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 8, David said, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Have you ever noticed how progressive anger is? And I showed you those progressive moods that people have, and they finally will reach that boiling point, you know, where they just do anything and everything. They don't know what they're doing. Well, that's kind of the way it is in life, isn't it? And in the book of Proverbs 14:17, King Solomon said, "He that is soon angry will deal foolishly in life." It is true. It is true. We have to be very, very careful and not to get angry with one another. In the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 29, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly." Listen to it. He that is slow to wrath. That tells me that, you know what, when you feel like you're getting angry, up here, everybody. When you're getting angry, you need to stop and reflect upon what you are doing. "But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." And then in Proverbs 15 and verse 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger will appease strife." You know, the Bible says something about agreeing with your adversary while you are in the way. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." I want you to listen to this one. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than the man who can take a whole city." Now that's what Solomon says about it. He says the man that is slow to anger is better than a mighty army that comes in and tries to overrule and take a city. Someone said it this way, that holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. And you are the person who gets burned. Do you know that anger will do more damage to the person in whom it is stored than onto the one on whom it is poured? That's why the Bible says so much about it. Proverbs 19:19 says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. But if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." Now listen to this one, fellas. Proverbs 21:19. "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." And all of the men said, "Amen." I notice you didn't say amen. You were sitting by the woman I'm talking about, am I not? "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, For anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 19. Avenge not yourself. That is, you don't try to get even. You don't try to get back. You don't say something ugly because they said something ugly. You don't act in unkindness because someone else acted unkindly. Have you ever noticed sometimes when people act unkindly, they never will repent of it. They never will say, I'm sorry. You ever been around people like that? They never do anything wrong. They always do it right. It's always his way. It's always her way. It's always their way. They're always right. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says when you're going to get rid of anger, you have to go down deep. The Hebrew writer talked about the root of anger, that the roots of anger go deep down in a person's heart. That's why what happens is even if you say you forgive someone, you still got the root way down in your life. And you can bring it up at any moment. You're ready. That's why the Bible says you cut the root, get rid of it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. But now do you also put off these things. He mentioned, notice anger is first. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Someone said that people in today's world need to have two Facebook accounts, one for each face. Well, what does sinful anger do? It destroys families, first of all, doesn't it? Remember the story of Cain and Abel and how Cain and Abel both offered a sacrifice unto God? But the Bible says that Abel offered that sacrifice in faith that is according to God's will. God told him to offer a blood sacrifice, and the Bible says that Cain offered something beyond and other than what God told them to offer. And as a result of it, the Bible tells us that God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Well, Cain became so enraged, he really was angry at God, but he took it out on his brother and he killed his brother. You see, he thought in his mind, the way I can get back at God is to get back at his child. And you know what? In the church sometimes people think the way I can get back at God is to get back at other Christians. And so Cain killed his brother, not without God knowing about it, however, for in Genesis chapter 4, God asked Cain, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? And God says, I know where your brother is. His blood crieth to me from the very ground upon which you stand. His anger led to his rage. And anger will destroy families. It does. We should never do anything to incite anger. And sometimes people do. Sometimes a husband might say something to anger his wife. Or a wife may say something to anger her husband. Have you ever noticed how that goes? And how they give you the silent treatment? You ever notice that? A wife came to her husband one day and said, honey, how would you describe me? And the husband said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And the wife said, well, what does that mean? And the husband said, it means adorable, beautiful, cute, delightful, elegant, fashionable, gorgeous, and heavenly. And the wife said, oh, thank you. But what happened to IJK? He said, I'm just kidding. How many of you know that that would anger you? How many of you wives would be angered if your husband were to say certain things? Sometimes people get jealous over money and it destroys a family when they think they didn't get their share or what was coming to them. like in the story of the prodigal son, the elder brother who thought that. Sometimes there's a jealousy over knowledge and education. When people are knowledgeable, sometimes other people are jealous over it, or jealous over a position. These are lessons that folks in Washington need to learn. Amen to that one. Anger will divide families. It'll divide a husband from his wife. Ephesians 5, and the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And the wife is to submit unto the husband as the church submits unto Christ. It divides parents from their children. It does. Sometimes children and parents are alienated because of jealous anger. That's why the Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's what we're talking about. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It divides siblings, doesn't it? Brothers and sisters from each other. It does. Sometimes we become so hostile in life that the anger meter just goes way over in the red. It just peaks out. We don't like to admit it. We say, oh, I was just a little upset. But anger not only destroys families, anger destroys churches. And I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Anger divides brethren. It does. You remember the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham of the Old Testament, and how it was a great contention, and they ended up having to divide. One went his way, Abraham went his way, Lot went his other way, and we know what happened to Lot. And when brethren are divided, it destroys your influence as a child of God. There is no light in the world for people to see. And Jesus said that we are to let our light shine before the world, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And then there is no pattern for the world to follow. James 1 says we have to get rid of it and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, listen to it, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, listen to this, and it's something you need to remember, folks. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It doesn't. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just doing God's bidding because I got angry. No, you're not. You let God do His bidding in that area. He will repay. Anger destroys individuals. Not only families and churches, but it destroys individuals. It will consume an individual. Have you ever noticed that when a person gets angry, he goes to bed at night angry. He gets up the next morning angry. He goes to bed the next night angry. He gets up the next morning angry. And he lives his life like that. And he plots his vineyard. In Proverbs 20 and verse 2, Solomon said, the fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion who provoketh him to anger. And sinneth against his own soul. You think it isn't a sin? Need to learn again. We become so defensive of our bad attitudes in life. Have you ever noticed how when people get angry, they always justify their anger? They never say again, I'm sorry. There's some people just can't say those words. And some people just can't say, I'm sorry. And they won't. You know what? I've had people through the years that have said things that they've never said, I'm sorry. They just go on like everything goes on. They're still accountable to God for their attitude, however. It doesn't change the picture or the complexion of things. But people become so defensive. And then they become mean. They search for ways that they can hurt you. They search for ways that they can be so destructive. We're kind of like the news media. We're just looking and hoping that we can find something. They remind me of a bunch of buzzards. And you know what, folks? I learned a long time ago, you will never outpuke a buzzard. And you don't even need to be in the contest. And we become lonely. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. I've learned also, boy, when you get around people that are going to frustrate you and with their anger, and they explode, I've learned it's best not to be in their company. Avoid them. That's what he says here, doesn't he? Anger jeopardizes your life as well. It destroys families. It destroys the church. It will destroy an individual. And it will jeopardize not only your life, but the life of other people as well. Other people's anger can hurt you. It does hurt us. As I said, road rage is a very common thing in today's world. It happens. Romans 12 talks about that anger. Get rid of it. Don't render evil for evil. People become violent. Do you see on the news the other night where a guy had gone into a place of business and he held a gun on the clerk? Held the gun on the man who's standing there and someone gets his attention. And then the man who he held the gun on reaches out and grabs him, and now he'll spend the rest of his life in the clinker because of his anger. It jeopardizes lives because of abuse, spousal abuse, child abuse, elderly abuse, and it happens all the time, folks. Don't kid yourself. Our anger hurts us. It does. Anger resteth in the bosom of the fool. Anger displeases God. God says get rid of it in Matthew chapter 5, doesn't he? Get rid of your anger. No one wants it. And anger alters our thinking. You ever notice how people think when they get angry? I mean, they really don't even think rationally. They don't. We seek revenge, Romans 12, 19 through 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place, he says, unto wrath to God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. And therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. People need to restrain their anger. Better yet, they need to get rid of it. They do. You ever noticed how people, when they get angry, they yell like you can't hear? You ever notice that? They yell. And they yield. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is a glory to pass over a transgression. You know, sometimes when people do you wrong, or you think they've done you wrong, or they've done something you thought they shouldn't have done, sometimes it's just better to overlook it and go on. It's amazing how we make mountains out of molehills sometimes, don't we? We get so angry about little things, maybe. A wife can say, I heard it's supposed to rain today, and a man said, no, it's supposed to be sunny all week. And that leads to a big, big argument about meteorology. And people do the same thing. There's a little thing called provocation. You ever get provoked? Versus peace, Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, but a furious man aboundeth in transgression. There's some people that just live angry. They do. Like a man said to another man one time, he said, "Did you wake up grouchy this morning?" He said, "No, I just let her sleep." Anger changes moods. You ever noticed how moody people get when they're angry? And they're unstable. And they're grouchy. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to be griping about this lesson when you get in your car and you head out to the cotton patch. You're going to be saying, "I don't agree with what he said." That's fine. I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking you to agree with what God said. I don't need your sanction. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For again, anger will rest in the bosom of a fool." You know what you need to do? You need to change your anger into a smile. But you know what happens? I'll tell you what really happens is that we change our smile into anger. And anger can cause us to be lost, unrepented of. And that means you change your behavior, folks. And not forgiven. And if you've angered someone, you ought to say, "I'm sorry." And if you got angry, you ought to say to the one who angered you, "I'm sorry. I overreacted." Lest we pay the wages of sin, and that is death itself. For in Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Overcome, this is the admonition this morning, overcome anger before it overcomes you. How do you control your anger? Well, first of all, a good thing to remember is that you can't save face if you lose your head. You can't. The greatest remedy for anger is delay. It is. And the best answer to anger is silence. Don't say something that you will regret later on. And then you pray about it. That's what God says, doesn't he, in Matthew 5, to pray, even if you consider a person to be an enemy, pray for your enemies and for those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. And then by forgiving someone that angered you. Luke 17. And you do it by love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. And by being positive. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. Love, listen to this. Paul says that love keeps no record of wrongs. That is, when you have been done wrong, get over it. Don't carry around a little book and write something down and feel like you have the right to go back and pick it up the next time somebody says something to you or to offend you in some way. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It's not proud. Love is not rude. The rude behavior of people is something that we ought to stop and think about. It is not selfish. It cannot be made angry easily. And love does not remember wrongs done against it. Is there really any hope for dealing with anger? Well, you have to extinguish the spark before it becomes a fire. We have to put it out right then. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory again to overlook it. Ephesians 5, and don't sin by letting anger control you, and don't let the sun go down on you while you are still angry. You get over it before you close your eyes and slumber. What if God were to take you in the middle of the night and you were so enraged by your anger and frustrated by what someone said or did? You are giving place to the devil, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. And when tempted to fight fire with fire, remember what the fire department does. It fights fire with water. Learn to overcome anger by exercising self-control, by being kind. The Bible says that we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Not by seeking revenge, it belongs to God, but by seeking to help other people. We're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. First those in Damascus, to those in Jerusalem, Luke records, and in all Judea and to the Gentiles also, I preach that they should repent and turn to God. He says, and to prove their repentance by their deeds. You'll find out whether a person has changed his demeanor or not. The question I ask you this morning is, will you refuse God's gift of eternal life? The entrance into heaven is based upon a penitent heart. Else God says, access denied. Aren't you ready to make a U-turn this morning with your life? If you're a Christian and you know that there's some things that are amiss in your life, maybe there's some people that you need to forgive right now, and maybe there's some people that you need to seek forgiveness from. How long will you hold that bitterness and anger in your heart before you let go of it? Repentance is a change of direction in thought and in behavior. Repentance and water baptism work as a combination, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We have to break the chain of anger to really, really repent. That's what repentance is all about, isn't it? And then by being baptized, that all those old sins might be washed away. And then we can truly say, I thank God that I have been set free. I thank God that I don't have to hold that in my heart any longer. Heaven is the Christian's eternal home. Don't let anger keep you from going there. That's our lesson this morning. If you're subject to the call of Christ, we invite you to come while we sing.